One of the first things you notice as you make up your mind to stay with the breath is there are other minds in your mind as well. The ones who want to take the hour to think about something that's been on your mind. Or just random other desires, other voices, other members of the committee, because that's what you've got in there, the large committee. And a lot of the skill in the meditation is learning how to put the members of the committee in order. So you've got to understand what is all this discussion all about inside the mind. It's not just discussion. As I've often said, the committee is not some charity committee that's gotten together to decide how to run a charity event. It's more the Chicago City Council. All kinds of politics are going on in there. And all the voices in the mind are different desires that have seemed to work, at least in the past. Some have actually worked in bringing about happiness. Others seem to have worked and didn't work all that well. But because they seem to work, they have a place in the committee. But it's important to realize that they're all fabrications. As the Buddha said, there are three kinds of fabrication. There's the breath, which is bodily fabrication, in other words, the way you sense your body, and the effect that the mind has on the body comes through the breath. The fact that you can move the body comes through the breath. The way you breathe will have an effect on your heart rate, a lot of other processes in the body. And there's verbal fabrication. That's direct to thought and evaluation. This is the conversation in the mind, the different voices, what they choose to focus on, the comments they make. This is the verbal part of the interaction of the committee. And then there's mental fabrication, feelings and perceptions, feelings of pleasure and pain, or neither pleasure nor pain. The perceptions are the labels you apply to things, and these can be either individual words or images that the mind flashes. Things that make you feel afraid, things that make you feel attracted, kind of like the subliminal pictures they put on TV. They want to make you hate somebody, they'll have these hateful images. They want to make you be afraid, they'll have images of fear. And they slip in so you don't even notice them very quickly. The mind acts this way. This is how the mind sends a lot of its messages. So you've got direct to thought and evaluation, which are the verbal part of the interaction, and then you've got the breath and perceptions and feelings, which are the nonverbal side. And the members of the committee tend to use these different fabrications to interact with one another. Say anger comes in. It's going to hijack your breath. Your breath gets labored, it gets constricted. Anything to make you feel like you've got something in your system that you've got to get out. Then it can flash these different perceptions, individual words or ideas, images, to make you see things in a certain way that lead you to fall in with the anger. As the Buddha says, we do all this fabrication in ignorance, which is why it leads to suffering. And the purpose of the meditation is to bring it out into the light. And one of the ways we do this is by focusing on the breath. I mean, you've got bodily fabrication right here. You've got verbal fabrication. You're talking to yourself about the breath. You're commenting on the breath, evaluating how it's going, adjusting it so it gets more comfortable, using it to deal with different patterns of tension in the body, energizing you when you feel tired, relaxing you when you feel tense. It's the conversation that lies behind this. That's the verbal fabrication. Then there's a mental fabrication. You've got the images of the breath that you hold in mind. And of course the feelings that can be created by the breath, and also the feelings that you run into. In other words, sometimes it's pain in different parts of the body, and it seems to block the breath. So you have to have a perception that the pain is not blocking anything. It's just there, but the breath can penetrate, can infiltrate through the pain and out. So what you're learning to do is learn to take all the various ways in which the members of the committee are composed and the various ways in which they interact. And you're creating some new members in the committee, strengthening the wiser ones, giving them more tools, more strategies, so they can take apart these unskillful interactions that have been going on in ignorance. So a lot of the meditation is basically learning who you want to identify with. Do you want to go with the unskillful ways of thinking? Say you tend to think of yourself as a victim, and there's a certain pleasure that comes in that. Whatever happens, you're not responsible. But then you can look at the drawbacks that come from that kind of perception or those ways of thinking. You can decide, okay, you want to take charge. You've had enough of the unskillful pursuits of happiness. This is one of the reasons why John Lee recommends so often, especially in his early writings, developing a sense of sangwega, around sight, sound, smells, taste, tactile sensations, the ways of the world in general. So your mind feels less and less inclined to want to fabricate conversations or fabricate committee issues around wanting to get something out there in the world. And become more inclined to want to develop the skillful members of the committee here, breathing in new ways, thinking in new ways, evaluating in new ways, applying new perceptions. This is why John Lee's constructions on the breath are so helpful, because they give you so many different ways of perceiving the breath that you can then make use of. Breath coming up in the body, breath going down, breath spinning around in place in different places, the solid breath that you can access when the mind gets really quiet. And the whole idea of the breath energy is permeating the body out to every pore. So when you breathe in, everything in the body gets bathed in the breath. In other words, you develop perceptions that are more useful, that lead to feelings that are more conducive to putting the skillful members in control. Because at the very least, you can tap into a sense of ease, a sense of well-being, much more readily than you could before, so that the parts of the mind that are unskillful, that demand immediate pleasure, immediate gratification, meet up with a wise ability to give a sense of well-being. They lose some of their power. And you learn to see that all your emotions and all your feelings and all your identifications are fabricated. And you have the choice. Which fabrications do you want to go with? The purpose of the meditation is to give you more tools to fabricate new members of the committee, to weaken the unskillful ones, to get the skillful ones to work together. Eventually there comes a point where you touch the happiness that's not fabricated at all. When you fully realize that, okay, then you have no need for those members, any members of the committee. because that's what they were all about to begin with. You wanted happiness. You wanted to find a sense of true well-being. And once that genuine well-being is found, okay, you can put those members aside. For the arahant who's totally reached the unconditioned, the arahant can pick up the various members of the committee and use them as puppets. But there's not that sense of identification anymore. But as long as you're on the path, you need to learn how to identify with the fabrications of virtue, the fabrications of concentration, the fabrications of discernment. Those are the committee members that will see you through. Those are the ones you can trust. As that verse we chanted just now, those are the ones that you want to attend to earnestly.